Blog Talk Radio.
Kennedy wants to say hello to all our friends out there. Miguel, how was your weekend?
Everything was good, man.
You know, I wanted to mention a little bit before we get started here. I came across this information.
Go for it.
You know that congresswoman there in Arizona, Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords? She was shot there in Arizona. Did you hear about
correct.
That? You know, I did a little interesting information on that. I got that from Quick Throttle Publication this month. And they said she's a pretty stand-up person. Before entering politics, she ran the family tire business, which was founded by her grandfather in 1949. She is a co-chair of the Congressional Motorcycle Caucuses with Republican Walt Jones of North Carolina. Now, her attitude is she has sided with the motorcycle riders who favor state legislation to ride helmet-free as she does. Now, we get a lot of information on her, but I don't know anything about her. She's against helmets. She doesn't want to... she rides a BMW motorcycle, but, she's riding, you know.
Riding.
Yeah, so our prayers go through her and her family, and I don't know why. She married an astronaut, too, by the way. I didn't know that either until just recently with that. So, again, our prayers go with her. I hope she gets better and hope she continues to ride her motorcycle helmet-free when she can, you know.
Yeah.
So, amigo, you want to talk about this weekend or what?
Yeah, I mean, Saturday I went up to L.A., and I was at I hung out at the Viper Room, and I met Jesus on Sunset Boulevard, Bill.
You mean like you found Jesus in your life?
No, I met a guy.
Jesus. Mexican guy.
No.
Gardner guy.
White guy.
It's Jesus.
No, white guy. It's on my Facebook page. It's on the blog.
I met Jesus.
I showed you the picture, didn't I?
Well, I thought you just stuck that in there. I didn't think you really wanted to talk about that.
I met him.
Did you get some stirring revelation?
Yeah, I smoked a joint with him after.
Well, for all the people that watch that picture, try to find screwdriver's left hand if you can. I'm a little concerned about that.
It's in my pocket, you prick.
Hey, you know what? You're on Hollywood Boulevard, Sunset Boulevard?
Yeah.
You're in Hollywood?
Yeah.
Hey, I'm just trying to tell you stories I heard.
Oh, that low.
Let's talk about Sunday, what we did.
Oh, Sunday was our thing for
Fire
Chief.
Yeah.
And if you go on the blog, as well as my Facebook page, you'll enjoy the picture I have.
I haven't seen that yet.
You haven't seen the picture?
No.
Oh, yeah.
I'll look at that later on.
Yeah.
We had a fire chief that passed away, cancer, and so we want to have a celebration of life because after he retired, he came to Oceanside, bought himself a bagger, was heavily involved in city politics, heavily involved in riding his bagger everywhere he could. He always went to my shop. Towards the end, he had to ride his truck to my shop. Towards the very end, he had to have his wife drive him to the shop, but he still made it all that he could. He passed away. We wanted a celebration of life, and we thought maybe 50 people would show up. Well, we were certainly wrong on that. Without doing any advertising, we had one flyer.
Right.
Sticking in my shop, and I gave no flyers out. They said over 200, so we don't know how much showed up there, including the fire chief of Oceanside gave a nice speech. The mayor of Oceanside gave a nice speech.
That's correct.
The police chief of Oceanside came and gave a nice speech. Now, this is important to understand the relationship because the mayor comes to a lot of our events and speaks because we're downtown City Hall making our expressions known.
Right.
Fire captain's been here many a time. We're good to go. But in all the years we've been here, never once has the chief of police ever come down.
No. Never once.
He doesn't want to be seen in public with us.
Well, in public now. Right there?
Oh, I see it right there. Yeah. The gentleman to your left with the Oceanside hat, that is the mayor of Oceanside.
That's
a stand-up guy.
Mm-hmm.
He sees the motorcycle community.
You know, he used to be a street cop.
Oh, I know that. When he first became mayor, he came in to visit me with the district attorney. He said, "Mr. Kennedy, how you doing?" I said, "Mr. Mayor, it's an honor to meet you." And a little colder, sorry to that, guys. And he said, "Do we know each other and all that?" And I said, "No, I can't think so." And he said, "Well, think back, Mr. Kennedy." I said, "Mr. Mayor, I really can't." He said, "Please call me Jim." "All right, you call me Bill." So I'm thinking, and I said, "Jim, what did you do before you were mayor?" He said, "Now it's coming back to you, Bill. I was the head of the detectives for the city of Oceanside for 20 years. And in my 20 years as the head of the detectives, we've investigated you for 20 years, and we never arrested you at all." Now, that's kind of cool. But then he said, "We finally figured out that, Bill, you're not that smart. So maybe you're just an honest guy, because if we couldn't catch you," and I couldn't believe the district attorney's there, the new mayor, 20 years I was under investigation. They only quit because they figured I wasn't that smart. If I had known that, they could have just paid me half the amount of money, and I would have never opened a motorcycle shop. There never would have been a Kennedy's Custom Cycles. Imagine how much taxpayers they wasted. At one time, they rented a building diagonally from me, and they took pictures of every single person that came into my shop.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what?
Well, you know, that goes along the lines with what it is today. You're the president, I'm the vice president,
okay.
And everybody downtown is an underling.
Depends on what day of the week, who's president, who's vice president, I guess.
Yeah.
But, you know, after the mayor spoke and the fire chief spoke, the chief of police, he was a pretty nice guy. He was, you know, he didn't care for us.
Yeah, so after they took the picture with me and found out who it was.
Oh, yeah, and then now it's just, you know.
Because they didn't recognize me.
You had the shades on and all
no,
that, you know.
I had, the last time I met these two guys,
yeah.
I didn't have my hair in a ponytail, and I didn't, wasn't wearing a bandana, mm-hmm. and I wasn't wearing glasses. And I had on a flannel shirt.
So I'm looking at this picture here, and my question to you is, where's your right hand, Phil?
On the chief's back.
I can't see it.
It's like...
No, I can't see it. I can see the mayor's right hand on your right shoulder. I'm
right.
Asking you again.
And the chief's hand is on my left shoulder.
Okay, then I apologize for that. Would you tell me where your right arm is? And come
it's
on,
yeah, it's right
where
here.
Where is that?
There's my fingertip right there.
Okay,
let's
see. I
think
that's a fingertip. All right.
Yeah, the mayor came, but not for the paralyzed vest. That's true, Art. He did.
Yeah. No, we had actually, for the first time ever, we had all the powers to be in Oceanside come down to visit us and be polite. But it wasn't about us. It was for all the firefighters we had and all that. So that was kind of
right.
Nice. You know,
we got a caller, Bill. Let's bring it in. Hello, caller.
Caller, you're on the air.
Are you just listening, caller?
Caller, please don't let me just talk to Screwdriver. Talk to me. Help me out here. Don't be afraid.
Not there.
I will. Okay. It was nice we had the fire department honor guard came. American flag.
That's
true. You know, I'm always proud of that. And we had the Emerald Pipe and Band band from San Diego firefighters down there. I've always wondered about bagpipes. They say they got to warm up and they got to dial them in.
Mm-hmm.
How do you know when they're, you know, dialed in or not? I'm never sure about that.
No.
But thank God they did sing.
All those pictures are on the blog, Bill.
Oh, okay.
Bagpipes,
the
color guard, the truck, me and the mayor.
We had four fire trucks there.
Yeah.
Four fire trucks there. That was kind of nice. They came in full. We had people came in from, again, almost no publicity. Santa Barbara, they came in. The one guy came in from New Mexico.
Right.
I am absolutely amazed that for a event that we had with one flyer, so many people came in, so that's kind of nice.
It just goes to show you how many people knew that guy.
Yeah. He's a stand-up guy.
Yep.
I felt kind of bad because at one point in time, he was the fire captain at Avalon, which is Catalina Island, 28 miles across the sea, and tiny island. They kept inviting me to go on out there, but I never made it. I was there once, like 30 years ago, and I never went back. small island. What am I going to do on an island, you know? It's like my trips to Hawaii. I can't stay long. You get a little crazy over there.
Yeah.
You don't have a motorcycle, it's okay, but you can't go in circles, you know?
No. So do you still want me to leave this picture up here, or can
take it down.
Yeah. And then I got two.
But it's good to see you've made two new friends, because you've always wanted a friend, and now you have two friends there.
Right, the thing is with these guys, they didn't realize who it was till after. And
the mayor didn't care, though.
No, the mayor didn't care.
He's all right. Plus, this is the last tour, and last term, I think. He don't care, though.
No, he's going to go again.
He is? Oh, good for him, then. We have an event coming up in April. I'm bringing veterans clubs from all over California down, and I contacted him. We're going to have him as one of the speakers again, and I'm going to ask him to declare that day Paralyzed Veteran Day in the city of Oceanside and thank all the vets for coming down. I'm in the process right now of maybe do a little excitement. I think we're bringing the Hooter Girls in with some chicken wings.
Sure, why not?
Do you ever hear of an outfit called Cheeky Chaps?
Yeah.
Okay. They called me up today. They said like to bring some girls over in the Cheeky Chaps. Do they wear a G-string underneath that? Or?
Sometimes.
Okay, because they said they wear just chaps with little... something, and I've never seen that they were a bathing suit, the G-string. What do you think?
All right, hey. Game.
Okay. They sent me pictures, but they didn't say, I couldn't make out what they were wearing over their butts, which wasn't much.
What? No, in the back of this magazine says something about cheeks. I don't remember.
All right. Anyway, so we want to have possibly the Hooter Girls, which everybody knows who the Hooter Girls are. Usually exceptionally good-looking women, they're going to give some free chicken wings out.
Right. Not there. Keep going.
There's our friend up there for Illusion Motorcycles. We want everybody to check on that at www.illusionmotorcycles.com. Our good friend Rusty's up there.
Rusty and T-Rod.
And don't go by T-Rod, yeah. No, I didn't see it.
It's in there.
Sorry about this coughing every now and then, guys. I got a little cough. Oh, thank you. Anyway, so screw down. I got a couple more veterans programs going on. I can't wait to see the look in the mayor's face when he sees his little cheeky chaps.
Art just said I should have that picture made into a T-shirt so I can wear it to court.
These are my friends.
Yeah.
These are my friends.
The two of the guys that sent me the emails said, how did you get him to do that? Just walked up and said, hey, would you guys mind taking a picture? I had a guy with the camera ready. Boom, done, out.
Now you say, in all fairness, Trudeau said, Bill, wouldn't it be great for Saul to have a picture? And I said, no, I don't want a picture with these people. But Screwdriver, he gets bound and determined. He got something in his head. It's like a one-trick pony. I want a picture with that chief of police. He got the mayor thrown in as a freebie. But so you're going to bring those pictures up to chief of police and show them? Or?
No, I'm actually,
what are you going
to
do?
I'm waiting on, I sent it back to one of the guys. And I said, here, why don't you post this, print it and post it on the wall.
Oh, Jesus. Why you got to push it that hard all the time?
No, I didn't.
All right.
But, let's see if we get this caller here. Hello, caller.
Caller, you're on the air.
Are you there? Liberty. Not there.
Talk to me.
I'll leave it unmuted, see what happens.
You and I have a weekend off.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going anywhere this specific weekend. Well, actually, I've got a meeting at the new VA hospital, the VA hospital in La Jolla, for an event. I'll be speaking with the paralyzed veterans, give a little speech down there. That's on Monday while you're hard at work and all that.
Yeah.
And you and I will be meeting together sometime around mid-February up in Hollywood again, right?
Right. That's on the blog also. It's going to be Sonny Barger's. It's going to be a book signing, lithographs, with Jim Brown, the Hall of Famer. Football player. With his American program. And it's going to be the $10 admission fee.
Mm-hmm. Many people are unaware of Jim Brown besides being a football player. I have to tell you, I'm looking forward to meeting him because I believe I styled my life after the way he played football. I would watch Jim Brown when I was younger, watching TV, and he'd get tackled, he'd go down. He would stay down for 3 to 5 seconds if he was severely hurt, and he would get up and walk off to the side slowly. He would get tackled, get knocked down and not hurt at all, and he would stay on the ground for 3 to 5 seconds. He would get up and walk off. What he was doing was showing the people only what he was allowing them to see. The pain he was absorbing, he didn't want anybody to experience that. And I realized a long time ago that the image I portray is critical. I don't want to see people see me yelling and screaming and freaking out. That's not the image I gave. Later in life, he went on to do gang interventions in L.A., and he modeled himself upon his dealing with the pain there. And as you know, I've done gang interventions in parts of California and Mexico. Same technique. I'm not here to judge other people. Two people are going crazy. You're mad at each other. I'm there to try to ascertain what really happened. So I'm looking forward to meeting Jim Brown and tell him that from his deal with injuries on the football field, that's kind of how I think I model my life.
Right.
You're looking at me like I'm crazy.
No.
I'm just telling you. I rarely ever get upset.
And for people that wanted to see, I'm posting, I'm putting them up on the site right now.
Oh, Cheeky Chaps.
Hang on.
I'm looking for them, yeah.
We'll go back to that.
Okay. You go where you want. I'll go where I want.
We'll get back to that.
Well, all right.
Jack.
It's going to be quick. Okay, I was going to say.
Go back to that.
All right, then I'll start talking. Go ahead.
Now, where did you say your Cheeky Chaps are?
Right there.
Okay.
These are some of the girls that are all going to be down here. They asked me if they could. And I said, well, yes. Let's take a look. Does that look like?
No, that's not a G-string, Bill.
No, it's a...
It's like a half-cut panty.
I think it's panties?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Here, I'll give you a closer view.
Thank you. Well, no, that was good. That was good. I should have got some type of nylons. I like the slit down the side.
Mm-hmm.
This is the girl that contacted me in the pink, by the way, with the white chaps with the...
I'll post that right now, Bill, okay. So people can see it.
These are girls that want to know, can they come to our events? And
If you go to my Facebook page, you'll see everything.
Okay.
What was the girl's name you saw today?
No, she called me. This is the... I saw her... an event I was at a little while back. Do you remember that little... had a little blondie locks walking around there with like about zero body fat? She said she wanted to know, is there any way possible she can get more involved? And I thought maybe I could hook her up with the Cheeky Chap girls because she's got like a rock solid body.
Mm-hmm.
It would seem to be the Christian thing to do, you know? I don't know where you are.
Well, I'm in the chat room.
Okay.
See, we just got a message, and our condolences go out to Kimmy Lucas losing her friend last week. I guess he was a fireman, and he passed away. He was the second fireman to pass away from the 9/11 attacks. He died of lung disease.
Yeah.
New York Fire Department gave him a beautiful send-off. It was overwhelming to be part of.
Yeah.
But he was the second fireman this year to pass.
Sure, that one firefighter that came up, and he was with the... American Legion riders here in California. I had scheduled the speakers, and he was a very good friend. He wanted to speak, but then just before the event, I pulled him off the agenda because he was just overwhelmed, and I told him if he felt throughout the course of the event he wanted to get up and say something, please. He got up on stage, and he gave his best shot. I don't know if you remember that guy.
Mm-hmm.
He'd get 3 or 4 words in and kind of choke up, and... But it took a lot of courage to get up and not be afraid to cry in front of
people. The guy's name I just talked about, Bill, his name was Billy Quick.
Billy Quick. Mm-hmm. Well, I should mention our firefighter there was Jack Goslett. They called him the chief, yeah. His wife came down, his son came over, so it was kind of nice.
And then some people are going up there on the 20th, so we're going to leave at 9:30? I'm leaving at 8, but what time are you going to leave?
Hello.
I know I have to.
If you break down, I'll be behind.
Yeah, no, I have to be there early.
I understand.
For special reasons, but I have to be there early.
Yeah. Well, give me the same route you're going up, because when you break down, I'll come along after and
no, I won't
give
break
you
down.
Some water or something, you know?
Yeah. No, I won't break down.
Okay.
No, and then...
You write it by yourself then? You get in the company or what?
I'm not sure yet. Some of the guys from San Diego.
Okay, I'm going to roll up with a couple of guys from Orange County.
So I'm leaving at 8. You're leaving at what time?
10.
Okay, some of the people might want...
Civilized.
Some of the people want to go up with Bill. Just give him a call and check out... Put your heads together and come up with a plan and a time, and that way you don't have to ride up there by yourself.
I'm a big boy.
I'm a
real big boy, in fact.
I'm just saying.
I've got less of a recommendation. I'm a real big boy, but that's another story. You can leave at 8 o'clock. Well, you can get up in the morning every time that time. So
I get up at 3:30.
Yeah,
I get up at 3:30.
I'm going to probably roll home about 5 or 6, unless there's going to be a big after-hours party going on, which probably...
There is.
Yeah, there always is, something like that. But if they're going to go all the way back to San Fernando, we'll see where it goes. You know, it's too many days ahead for that.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what's coming up in March, which I'm not really sold on yet? I'm thinking about maybe going down to Mexico for a carnival.
I thought it was the second week in February.
Yeah, this year, for some reason,
they
the Mexicans came up, and we had a very bad compound. We did the best we could conversing. They said they're going to come back up. They think it's going to be in March, first or second week in March. And I said, no, it's February. He said, no. So they're going to bring flyers up and all that. I'll get back to you on that if you... Maybe we'll run down to Mexico one more time to Ensenada. Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I told you when I was down a couple weeks ago, they stopped me at the border and wanted to see my passport. But I just showed them my driver's license. And they said, well, you got to have a passport. I don't. He said, well, all right, go ahead back in. So I think if we go down to Ensenada, it's 100 miles deep into Mexico. That should be pretty much okay, I think.
Yeah. I mean, from here it's...
It's 150, maybe.
No, it's...
Okay, what's it from here to Mexico? What here to the border?
From here to the border is 38...
38
miles.
38? 38. Okay, say 40. Now, once you cross over the border, I think it's 85 more miles.
No, it's 71. To the hotel is 71.
What are you, some GPS or something? I say 85, you're going to contradict me. 71 exactly? And 71 with two blocks or something?
No, I'm telling you. And then we have a club in Mexico that just started to follow us on the blog and in the radio. It's the...
Los Cabos.
Yeah, Figuera, Los Cabos, DCS.
Mm-hmm.
So they're in Baja.
Baja, California.
Yeah.
I don't think that means just south. I don't know what that means right now.
What, BCS? No.
Yeah, I don't know what BCS means.
BCS,
exactly. Baja California, but I don't know what the S is.
Sir. They call it Sir.
I guess you are we're talking about.
Yeah, and then this is on the ride. They're the ride to La Paz.
My brother Mike came back with a whole bunch of his crew down La Paz. No problem getting down there. There was a little situation with gasoline because there wasn't any gas stations, and what they did was... Mexican government has pickup trucks
right
beside the road with gasoline. You pull in, and it's good gas. All the gas stations in Mexico are run by the government, so don't worry about the gas situation.
Mm-hmm.
The octane is fine. You don't need any boosters or any crap. But you know who's been contacting me is the Mazatlan people, the Mazatlan Mexicans.
Mm-hmm.
They're saying that you and I have to go down to Mazatlan. 1,200 miles of crappy-ass desert. But once we get that point on, so 400 more miles of tropical weather.
No. It actually, Bill, we ride down to La Paz and take the ferry over.
No, I get seasick. I ain't doing that.
It's not that bad.
I don't like going down. I get seasick.
It's not that bad. You can sleep. It leaves at 8 at night. You get there by 6
in the
morning.
Down to La Paz, that's 1,000 miles. I could be there 400 more miles. I'll be there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
From here to La Paz, it's 400. I mean, 1,000 miles, excuse me. Okay, we'll agree to leave the same time. And you agree to have normal stops, and we'll see who can get the muscle on without just screwing it up. I've got a lady friend of mine down there that will put up with us. But if anybody else wants to contact us, we would consider going somewhere else, too, and staying.
Right.
But say that's all tropical down there. It's,
it is.
Once you get down there, it's just T-shirt weather. It's gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the crappy desert to get to that point there.
Right.
We'll talk about going down to Ensenada later, maybe. You been down to La Paz?
Yeah.
I'm in La Paz. I'm sorry. Did you've been to Mazatlan?
Yes.
Yesterday's reports in Massillon, they're not letting the people off the cruise ships. Did you hear that?
Right.
They're shooting them left and right.
Yeah, yeah. They're shooting, yeah. Art says there's no medical marijuana in Mexico. Sure there is. They can get it on any street corner.
Art, you just don't bring it in with you, for God's sake.
Exactly.
You know?
And,
that's right. We go down to Mexico, by the way. We cross the border all these years. You and I never, ever, ever, ever get stopped.
No.
Only an idiot would bring drugs into Mexico.
Right.
For God's sakes. Now, when we leave Mexico and we come back to America, our own police, they treat us like we're second-class criminals or something, for God's sakes. Where have you been? What do you care where I've been? I can see them asking us something stupid like, are you bringing any illegal drugs back? Why do they care where the hell we've been, what we've done? I don't understand that. So I'll do some work on Massillon. They say that ride is fantastic.
It is.
And maybe in November we'll take a run over to Rocky Point, put up an Osco.
Sure.
In the past couple of years you've had some time conflicts, so you couldn't make that run over there. So,
right.
Now, one of the guys told me, one of the Mexicans said that around Yuma, you can cross over and there's a new road open up. I don't know if I mentioned that to you. And it may cut 150 miles off. So that would make the day kind of shorter.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of doing 500 miles nonstop, we can do like 350. So that's just a good stretch of legs.
Right. But, yeah, it's like it's getting a little weirder down there by the minute, Bill.
Well, it is. However, you and I look like the last two people in the world belong to any cartel,
yeah.
So they don't care about us. You know?
Right. You know, it's like I got a message from Betsy from Boston.
Hey, we love Betsy from Boston.
And,
yeah.
For those in the Boston area that are listening, there's going to be the bike show.
And
Boston bike show this weekend.
Yeah.
And it's at the Trade Center in Boston. And
what booth has Betsy got going on there?
She is a progressive representative. She's also having a take a chance on a $5,000 giveaway. Somebody in her group, one of her customers won it last year.
Hmm.
And then it's just gonna be her and the woman that works in their office with her, Maureen.
Now they want you to bring a copy of your motorcycle insurance in. So they can do a comparison right on the spot.
They can do a comparison
right on the spot. How much money
can we save you? Right.
All right. Well, Betsy, we appreciate that information. I wish you and I could get our insurance over there, but for you and I to get insurance break, it's kind of a little rough for us. But, you know, if you'd stop aggravating the cops, you wouldn't be so bad. But
yeah,
you
know. My story.
I'm going to check into at the Ensenada. I might check into the Mission Santa Isabel again. Remember that?
Right.
Yeah, I might check and see if we still get a deal on that one.
And then we just got a message that, ha, don't come this way if you're thinking tropical. New York just got hit with 20 inches of snow.
God.
That goes along lines with the email I got from Boston today that said I got 12 inches. And then said, wait a minute, don't you dare.
Hey, it's not our, actually, we can't help it. We got to go.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, when I heard that one, I was like, man, you sure? In fact, I can read that to you. Here, right here. Got another 12 inches last night. Don't know where to put it. Oops, don't you dare. Lots of love. I knew what you were going to say.
You know, 2 years ago, Christmas time, I took my wife back to Boston, because that's where I'm originally from, and South Boston, by the way. And we took my wife up by South Boston High School. They have beautiful stone buildings there, beautiful stone. And I was telling my wife, honey, what's missing from this scene? And she was saying, well, I don't know, it looks beautiful and blah, blah, blah. She said, no graffiti. I said, no, honey, what's missing? It took her about 3 or 4 minutes to realize there's no garages.
Right.
And she said, by the way, why are these plastic chairs in front of the building? I said, because you're protecting your parking spot.
Right.
She said, there's no garage. I said, honey, that's the way it is back there.
It is. You know,
unbelievable.
The other thing, Bill, is we're waiting for a couple of callers.
Uh-huh.
And, in the meantime,
well, go ahead, because I want to get done with talking about a few things too. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, in the meantime, I'm going to take a minute break here, a couple minutes, and I'm going to play this song. And if you'd like to introduce this, now, if you remember, it's.
Oh, yeah. We think that's Axel Rudy Pell.
P-E-L-L.
Is it Pell or Pell?
Pell.
Okay, that's a mixture. All right.
And this is a tribute to tribute song to our buds here. Well, actually, yeah, our buds.
Mm-hmm. Our good friends.
Our good friends.
Around the world.
Uh-huh. And
this is our European version of our good friends. And they're going to do the song. Give us the name of the song, brother.
Forever Angel.
Forever Angels. To our local Southern California and worldwide friends, this is a hit going out for you guys.
Riding with your brother, who wins in the race.
to you from our European friends over there, and I think definitely from the country of Germany there.
Right.
Deutschland forever. We want to point out again that we said it over and over, Screwdriver and I are two independents. We just happen to be living in California our whole lives, and it just seems to be where most of our friends are at. We welcome all motorcycle clubs to give us any response they would. And I want to mention briefly that some of the other talk shows have said that they don't care for our format. They don't like the fact that we let our friends talk about any subject they want to talk about.
Right.
Well, we want to say this to the other talk shows out there. Well, why don't you, how do you feel about that?
Go fuck yourself.
Well, how wonderfully, eloquently put that is, sir. We want the other talk shows to do the shows they want to do it. Why do you want to email us and tell us we should do more of this, we should be more of that? Whatever our friends want to call in, that's what we're going to talk about.
Exactly. And then,
and we wish all the other talk shows good luck in their lives. We don't care. Because we don't care.
Nope.
We are corporate free. However, I guess if Hollywood called up, we'd jump the gun. And, we'd sell our bodies. You know, in a heartbeat. You know?
Maybe.
Nobody wants us.
Nobody wants us.
That's it. That's it.
But, no, it's just like, you know, everything else, Bill. Everybody's got their opinion, and you're entitled to it, but...
We don't ever
You're not going to force me to do something I don't want to do.
We have never contacted another show.
No.
Be critical of them. We wish nothing but success for all the shows.
Yeah.
Variety, Spice of Life.
I mean, we have someone, in fact, I can see if I can. Hello, caller, are you there?
Would that be me?
Yeah,
it
would.
You every night just to hear the sound of your voice. A second.
Thank you.
Whatever you can spare, that's what we ask.
Oh gosh, you know, I immediately had to get all the bugs worked out of this system in order to call in. As soon as I heard you say that, what you just said, there's actually another radio show out there that's putting down your format. That's not good.
You know what? Again, we wish every show out there the best that they can be. And if they want to do a certain format, that's good. Screwdriver and I, any one of our callers is our friend, either an old friend or a new friend we just met, and that's what we want to talk about. Now, I would say Screwdriver and I have a long way to go to be as professional as you are with your show, though, little girl. You are outstanding on that, but we're plugging away.
Thank you. Thank you.
Would you like
you
to
must give
a little plug for your show?
Well, anybody is welcome, just like they are on your show. Anybody is welcome to Monday nights. It's the Bikers USA show. And what I've started is Liberty Radio Network, and I'm having Grassroots Wednesdays so that my life is not just revolving around bikers. I want to talk to other people as well, be they libertarians, Democrats, Republicans, no-crats whatsoever, and hopefully not any hippocrats.
No. it's just like this, Jen. You know, after I took that picture, I had to Sunday at Bill's. I was there for about an hour and a half before that, waiting for him to show up, and then I had something else I had to go do. So I took the picture, and I stayed about 10 minutes. I said my goodbyes, and I left. And then Bill had told me he had gotten calls.
Two right away. Can you believe that Screwdriver was up there with his arm around the chief of police and blah, 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 and the mayor was there? And truly, I didn't see that. But just prior to that, Screwdriver said, listen, we got the mayor fired, got the police. Let's get a picture together. I said, I don't want a picture together. But Screwdriver, he's determined. And he went up and he asked them all, and they said they were pleased to pose with him, but I'm not sure the mayor knew who you were. Because the fact you had your hair up.
Bill, they didn't recognize me.
No, I think
if they had recognized me, they wouldn't have talked to me. I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah.
It was a great picture.
Go, Jen.
It was a real great picture, though.
Yeah. The only sad part to that thing is you can see my one arm, and Bill keeps asking where my other hand was. It was on the guy's shoulder. But has the same thing as when I put out. Did you see the picture where I said I met Jesus on Sunset Boulevard?
Oh, I love that one. That's my favorite, actually.
Okay. picture ain't even up 10 seconds. You know what Bill said?
Where's your right hand?
Where's your right hand at? I said, well, if you look at the bottom of my jacket, it's in my pocket.
First of all, you're in Hollywood Boulevard. I'm not trying to imply they're all gay, but they're at least all strange, and I can't see where your right hand is. Well, I don't know what you're... You know what?
Yeah.
But friends don't judge other friends. I'm not critical of you. What you stick your right hand, I'm not, you know. No, we're talking about the fact that Screwdriver and I like to let our friends know what we do on the weekend. I certainly don't want to think that we're bragging, but I think people in different parts, different states, different countries are calling. They want to know what our weekend's like. What are we doing over here?
Absolutely.
California is
plus,
so busy.
Plus mm-hmm. the fact of what we say and what we do, if Bill and I aren't together, one of us is somewhere where there happens to be people in show business or wherever, and the pictures get taken, the friendships are made,
mm-hmm.
and it's been that way for a long time.
Mm-hmm. And
everything you see that I post, mm-hmm. it's not me just standing there posing with a guy or something.
God knows what you do with your hand, though.
Exactly, but those are people that we know. I mean, I spent Saturday night after I went to I know you're gonna enjoy this one, Bill. Okay.
It's two weeks ago, last week.
No, last Saturday night.
Okay, wasn't
went down you? Went down two blocks on Sunset Boulevard on the right side, crossed the street, went into the Rainbow. You know what the Rainbow is? That's celebrity hangout from the 30s and the 40s to the 50s and that. Okay, the joint was loaded with rock stars, celebrities.
Yeah.
Here I am. We walk in. They take us to the back. We have the whole back corner. Three tables, two tables out, and it's just us and our friends.
Hmm.
Or me and the
you,
people that we know.
You and our friends.
Yeah. You and our friends. All right, me and our friends. And I'm sitting there, and then the next thing I know, I got Andy from the Sons of Anarchy to my right,
mm-hmm.
Rusty and the boys to my left, Pete sitting across from me.
Pete's the photographer.
Mm-hmm. There's two singers from Def Leppard off
mm-hmm.
to the right, and it was like an entourage. When we came in, it was like the Red Sea parted, boom, carte blanche, the whole I've never been treated more better in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Just by being with those people that I have that night.
And this is why I like to tell people about our adventures and all that, because being in Hollywood, you can't trip and fall down without hitting with some celebrity with that. I think people that live in other states maybe don't run into them as many as we do. Rarely a weekend goes by without a TV star, a movie star, or somebody that wants to hang out with the bikers and all that. So it's not that like, you know, oh my God, can I get an autograph? No. It's the way our life is. I'm very blessed with all that. I think you favor Hollywood more than I do, but that's your...
No, it's not that I...
I'm not judging you.
It's not that I favor it more than you do.
You go more than I go.
I go because you...
I'm down south.
You're down south.
I like Mexico.
You're also into... it's past your bedtime.
Yes, the Mexican motorcycle world is a lot stronger for me. But obviously, the Hollywood crowd is much stronger for you. Hey, I'm not going to judge. I'm not judging my friends.
I have a question.
Go ahead, Jen.
For you guys. Okay, you're in Southern California. Life is beautiful. The weather is always perfect. You know, it never rains in Southern California. Etc. Okay, and that's all well and good. And I used to love San Diego. Now, is there way too much street gang activity, and I'm talking about like the Crips and the Bloods and all those all those people. Is there way
down
too
there,
much?
Down there by where I work, by 32nd Street, it's the Navy base, and it's in City Heights,
It's the barrio.
And I've worked down there nighttime, daytime, you know, swing shift, whatever, and I never had a problem. And I always wear support shirts, never had a problem. Until the one time I went to get...
taco.
No, it was Chinese food.
Okay.
And the next thing I know, I was approached by the opposite club, wanted to know what I was doing there.
Opposite of our friends.
And they knew who I was.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem, it started out, it escalated to be a problem, and then it wasn't, and then it got taken care of.
You know, that's the only time.
That's the only time I've ever had a problem down there. But if you're, it's like anything else. If you look and act like you belong somewhere, you don't get a problem. But if you come in and you're strutting and you're, you know, my shit don't stink,
Somebody's
going to call you on it.
But if you walk like a victim, you are
a victim.
It's that fine line. Now, the funny thing is, too, is I got to tell you, a screwdriver is quite bilingual. I don't think he can pass for full Mexican, but he is very bilingual. I can't say two words. And yet, for me, being in Mexico is a lot more liberating. It's just hard to say where you go with and all that. We do go intermittently up to Hollywood because, you know, I don't know why we go, actually. But, you know, it's part of the way we are. If you heard somebody
well,
you talk
you know
to
why we go? Because we're invited.
It's losing, yeah. It's
we're
losing,
invited.
Yeah. And, I go intermittently because when I turn down so many invitations, you know, people say, you know, we want you to come up because we like you as a person. So
I mean, we just got an invitation from two parties today.
Yeah.
One is a Super Bowl party at the clubhouse.
Yeah, right.
And the other one is another party 2 weeks later at the same clubhouse.
Mm-hmm.
There's also one in the other invitation on the second email
mm-hmm.
is inviting us up to Purdue.
Yeah, and of course we will be at
for the overnighter.
We will be at the Key Club, though we mentioned that earlier.
Right, we are going to the Key Club.
We are definitely going to the Key Club in there. Key Club's up on Sunset Boulevard, so we'll be up there for. You know what's interesting too? I think you mentioned that, Jen. You know, remember the football player Jim Brown?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, he's going to be up there talking about his work and what you were just talking about, the Bloods of the Crips and the MS-13.
Yeah.
Sutra 13, I probably said that wrong again. My Mexican friend.
Yeah, Marisol Bucci.
I can't say nothing. Can't say nothing. But he's going to be up there talking about why he's doing this, why he's investing his time as a celebrity, why he's out there trying to keep the peace. And I'm looking forward to talk to him about that because I do Motorcycle Club Interventions, and I think that'd be kind of interesting. That's one of the reasons I'm going up. The parties and all that? Nah, I don't
know. No. And then, just like we got that call from our friend that he's hoping something happens for him beforehand, but it might be after, but it doesn't matter. Like we said,
let me respond with just a little bit.
Sure, go ahead.
One of our friends is going to be meeting us up at the Key Club, and I'm hoping he's going to come fully dressed.
Right.
But at this point in time, he may not come fully dressed. And we're waiting to see if he's going to make it or not. So that's a lot of codes in there and all that crap. But we don't want to say his name or nothing because he may not be fully dressed until the day after or something. But it's been 2 years waiting. We're hoping he makes it on time.
Right.
But in the long run, he makes it when he makes it like that. And if he doesn't make it, then I'll do what I always do, which is what?
Say hello on the way in and goodbye on the way out.
Keep an eye on my bike, and I'll be back out later on to say goodbye, and then that's about it. Because you know what? Until you're fully dressed, that's what your job is. You're out in the street watching the motorcycle. You know, Jen, a lot of times friends come out and visit us, and they're overwhelmed at first because of the closeness or the fact that we can physically grab the celebrities and all that. But when you live around and you're there, it's not quite so exciting, and you realize there are good guys and bad guys. One of the nicest people I met was Mickey Rourke.
Yes.
A lot of people have a lot of crazy images of him. I certainly think that new plastic surgery has got a little bit nutso. But I met him, a friend of mine, beautiful girl, was over here from Paris, and we were up at the Big Easy Rider bike show, and she said, "Oh, this is Mickey, my friend." I said, "You sure it's Mickey Rourke?" She goes, "Oh, yeah." So I said, "Mickey?" He said, "Yeah." And those two started speaking. He was fluent in France. He was, and they were going on and on like that. They're just nice people. But when you first come to Hollywood, everything's a trip and all that. You don't see all the bad things in the world, you know?
No.
Oh, you know, I'm looking at pictures of Mickey Rourke. You know, I wouldn't recognize him.
Oh, that's what I said. It's kind of rough.
Yeah.
Yeah,
You know, I think that they do that in order to, you know, just to stay in show business 10 more years.
That's another sad thing.
Well, you know, the sad part is he almost lost everything due to his lifestyle.
Yeah.
And then
That last movie,
it kind of resurrected him. And he's been on a roll ever since. Everything he's been in since then, I guess he's clean and sober now, is a lot better for him.
Let me go back in time a little bit. Good friends of ours, Grizzly Adams, he was rolling high on everything, and Dan Haggerty I'm talking about, he ended up living on a houseboat from a friend. He lost everything because of drugs and alcohol.
Right.
I think that Screwdriver and I are never going to be famous. Therefore, we're never going to have to worry about losing it. I think if you have it and you are famous and you lose it, it's like a hole you can never fill, and you want to go back to the good times. Screwdriver and I are living our lives every day as good times, so we're never going to worry about that suffering.
Hey, you know, I'm over at Wikipedia looking up Mickey Rourke. I didn't realize that he was a boxer.
A Golden Glove.
Yeah. Also, he had 22 professional fights. He had 15 wins and 7 losses. That's when he was juicing during the late 80s.
Yeah, everybody's juicing, I was going to say. Obviously, if I take my shirt off, you realize, damn, Bill never juiced at all. I'm going to actually drop a name like I'm somebody important. A few years back, I was talking to Chuck Zito, and Chuck Zito's been bodyguard to many of the Hollywood stars. He also had a golden boxing glove that Mickey Rourke gave him.
Right.
And he wears it every single day and all that. So, there's some good rapport between those people. We were at a funeral, Chuck and I, and we got into an argument. And the argument was something like the party was 2 o'clock. No, the party was 4 o'clock. It wasn't an argument. It was two people just like Screwdriver and I. We sometimes disagreed. He had his people around me in a complete circle. He's yelling, no, Bill and I just arguing. Not everything has to be adversarial. We're trying to get along here and all that. But he's a very intelligent man, by the way, very intelligent, and quite the fancy dresser. Too much East Coast, I think.
Yeah. That's can't really touch on that one because he's a lot bigger than I am, but yeah.
Bigger than both of us.
Go ahead.
You know, before East Coast, many, many years ago, I met this beautiful girl out of New York. She was Puerto Rican, and she was visiting her brother out here in Camp Pendleton long before I got married. Long, in case my wife is listening. She could not go to the store without getting dressed up. She had to put the heels on. She had to put the makeup. I said, honey, we're just running down the store. Suppose I meet your friends. I don't want to embarrass you. We're now together for about a year or so, and then she absolutely could not take this slow pace in California. She said, I have to be back in New York City. So I think it's what you get used to. She could not adjust to it, and I'm sure that if I went back to New York City, I couldn't adjust to it, you know?
Right. And we're waiting for a couple more callers, but the thing I wanted to do was... we're going to take a quick break, Bill, and I'm going to...
You're going to the bathroom again. You know, you got to get that checked out. You got to get that checked. There's pills for that.
Relax.
What are we doing here?
No, I'm answering something in the chat right now.
Well, people need to know that what you're doing.
I'm answering a question in the chat right now. And then right here, this song here, Bill, is we're going to play this song, and it's called Knockin' Boots.
Knockin' Boots? Right. Knockin' Dub Boots.
Rockin', right. So we're gonna jam this one.
Who's this from?
This is from H-Town. We're going to jam this one for a minute, and then a couple of minutes. We'll be right back. I got to check out some things and
I see what you're doing, this computer
call.
Thing here. I see what's going on.
Please,
okay.
We're about to see your new video by H-Town. Well, I've got a question for you. What does knocking the boots really mean?
Well, knocking the boots actually means two boots coming together, making tasteful lust. Something for you.
Think, Bill?
Hey, you know what? I got to tell you something. People who don't know me, I love jazz and I like R&B. So I actually am the old guy in the club that got that one move, you know? I can dance all night long. I never break a sweat. That's my style. But Jan, I think he was trying to send you a subliminal message to you. I'm not sure, Jan, but I think so.
Well, it's
Oh, man.
I'm on the East Coast.
You're like me. Right now, you're speechless.
that comment makes me think of the smoke after. I was gonna say what, but I didn't wanna.
You like that one, huh?
I
just lit a cigarette.
I just did too. Oh, Art's asking, who is the artist or a group?
It's called H-Town.
H-Town.
I just put it up on, if you guys are on Facebook, it's in my Facebook page.
I don't like Facebook. Sorry.
Oh, I mean,
No, I'll go there, but you know, it's like there are people who spend way too much of their day on Facebook and Twitter and.
Jan?
Yeah.
How much time is too much time posting? 5 times, 3 times? What do you think a day?
I don't know. I do think that there are people who spend all day there. I mean, I don't want to know that somebody just is sitting on their porch now.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's what I saw over at Twitter.
Yeah.
I mean.
Well, you know, I don't even own a cell phone, so nobody's going to own my business at all. In fact, yeah. We go out somewhere, people that call a screwdriver up. Is Bill there? Is Bill there? I don't need, if I leave the house, you know, like the famous actress Greta Garbo when she went to Paris and she said, I want to be alone. I don't want to be reached. For emergency, though, call a screwdriver. He can come find me. Too much technology,
yeah.
I think, makes us a slave. Well, the reason that I ride my motorcycle, and I think it's important for people to understand, is I need to be alone with my thoughts. I don't want to hear a radio. I don't want somebody talking to me. I don't want anything, you know. I find that being alone on the motorcycle, listening to the sounds, smelling the smells, the fresh rain, I call it delicious. I don't want cell phones going off. I don't care. I don't want people to know what I'm doing. I don't even care. Screwdriver and I have been fighting this for some time. He's so far into the next century, and I'm so far back in the past century. I just don't care what people know that I know and all that.
Right.
He's getting really good, Bill. Screwdriver's getting pretty good with this technology stuff.
He is. And a lot of people don't say, why is Bill talking so much all the time? He's making major adjustments on machinery and all that. So
We have. See, all that static you hear, that's our friends trying to pop in, so I've got shit popping them out as soon as they try to pop in.
I have no idea what he's talking about.
I know what he's talking about. It's a black van out front.
They're parked behind your truck, aren't they?
Yeah, and he sees them everywhere we go. No, I know what he's doing, but I have no idea what the technology, how he's blocking all this stuff here, making these adjustments. So,
right, and then
and I don't care.
No, and then the other thing I'd like to do is not to change the subject, but this is a very important thing to help Charlie out. He's got a video that he made that goes along with the song Right, and Bill and I watched it earlier. It's pretty cool.
Cool.
You can pick it up. I'll put it in the chat,
yeah,
but you can pick it up.
One of the places we noticed was
New Mexico.
I saw Sedona.
Right.
And you saw the Grand Canyon, and there's a lot of nice scenery.
Right,
scene
going, over
there,
the,
yeah.
going over to Hoover Dam.
The Hoover Dam outside Vegas. We're
right.
Going there. Yeah, so a lot of scenes that...
I just put it up in the chat room, but it's a real nice video.
Yeah, try to identify the places, you know, because these are all places Screwdriver and I have been over and over.
And what do you break? About 4 different laws when we were watching it?
Man,
stop,
I saw them
stop signs.
I think maybe he didn't
speeding,
have to. Yeah,
I
didn't know about that. I thought you had to stop at stop signs, but I guess Charlie's so special, you know? Because that stop sign goes, oh, well, enough of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know. I'm making more adjustments.
No, and then the other thing...
what guy?
The other thing I was going to talk about was, you know, we got Rusty's manager, RJ. They're going to do that thing for Louisiana, that Fish Aid project. And,
you know, I've heard a little bit about that, but I haven't done enough research to really.
Yeah. Well, what it is, Bill, is it's a music festival.
Yeah.
And it's going to be. Benefit concert to support the recovery and restoration of Louisiana coast. Actually, and people will know where this money is going, not the money that supposedly was given to them that nobody saw yet.
No.
But
yeah, we're talking about the city of New Orleans, so they got screwed a lot of stuff there.
And this is going to be the St. Bernard Parish and beyond. You know, they're still reeling from the effects. Gulf thirst buffers from the effects of the Deepwater Horizon oil spill disaster. And the most direct impact has been to date has been on the fishing industry.
Well, that fish, it's about empty over there. Those fish are just dying. The shrimp,
right.
That's all dying too.
It's done over there. So what they're trying to do is they're going to do some fundraisers for the restoration. And there's going to be, according to this, it says there's going to be some funds for production and talent costs will go directly. So they're doing it for free, Bill. All the funds they raise through corporate sponsorships, reasonable ticket prices, vending, food, and beverage, etc., the funds after production and talent costs will go directly to the recovery and restoration.
Well, I've always been suspicious of all these events here. In this case here, though, we certainly do know...
yeah, what they want to do is...
We know RJ, so we know
right.
RJ is involved.
RJ is a solid guy. So
yeah,
they want to do something
with
that.
Does he manage more than that one band? He's got
his own production company.
Yeah. So.
But he's doing hatchery. They're going to repopulate the hatcheries from the wetlands and improving the existing waterways.
Well, I've always trusted him, and I trust what he said. And what's good about RJ, too, if we find out it's quicker, we just go up and beat his ass because he ain't that far from us, you know?
Nah, he's all right.
Well, I'm just saying that. We got to plan, though, if it don't go.
Yeah, no, this is legit.
I try to do a lot of, Screwdriver and I do a lot of investigation as to who we're trying to help out to make sure. But RJ has never steered us wrong. He's always been best he can and all that, so.
Right. And
we'll support this.
Art, I'm going to send you that video, Art. It's coming right now. The one we just played.
See, at first I thought it was knocking the boobs, and so I was just kind of cool, but then I looked close at knocking the boots.
Right.
Yeah, it took a little of the thrill out of it for me. I thought, you know, a bunch of girls, you know, like
no.
like in the mosh pit when they bang into each other, you know.
Yeah. No,
you know.
Not, no, not here.
Yeah, once again, I get disappointed.
Well, you know, it's like anything else, Bill. You know, there's things going on, and people are supposed to call, and things are going to happen, and sometimes we get left holding a bag and we have to ad-lib. So basically what we're doing...
We're ad-libbing right now.
We're ad-libbing right now, but some of the things we're doing, it's a different variety.
We try
to give you all this stuff that we need to know. You know, like, there's some stuff going on now today that came out of Washington, the profiling bills. They're going to receive the hearing still.
Okay.
So they're you know, they stepped up the schedule to separate the hearings on consecutive days next week. So Donnie Lansman, he's going to be traveling to Olympia in order to testify in favor of passing a law to limit law enforcement from unfairly targeting the motorcycles.
You know, let me tell you what's going on right here.
There's a lot of support in this year's legislature. So if the bill passes out of committee, Donnie says, we expect them to land on the governor's desk for signature. It's HB 1333, which addresses motorcycle profiling and is scheduled for a public hearing with the Public Safety and Emergency Preparedness Committee Tuesday, February 1st at 10 a.m. And I think you can go online and watch all this. Jan, you can go online and watch this as it happens, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yeah, I think so.
And then SB 5242, yeah. That's the other one that addresses motorcycle profiling. And it's going to be a public hearing in the Senate Judiciary Committee, and it's Wednesday, February 2nd at 1:30. So, yeah, I'm pretty sure that he'll put these out with the links like he did last time, and it might be the same link. I have that link, but I'll double-check.
You know what I was thinking about doing, Philip, was you got a WAV file from me a couple
right.
days ago, right? Okay,
right.
Now, check this out for an idea. Okay, we have, all right, there's my show on Mondays, there's Hermes has a show on Tuesdays, there's Biker Lowdown on Wednesdays, there's Bikers of America on Thursdays. Okay,
right.
Now, how about if I were to do something like this and work with all of the people that do all the shows? And what I could do is maybe put together a WAV file just like it, but just as a recap of biker news.
Yeah.
You know, like that. And then
United we stand, divided we walk.
Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, I'm thinking about doing that, and we'll talk to you about that later about it. But, you know, it will touch on things like in Washington, you know, here's what's happening.
Jan, if that happens, that's going to be a landmark for the whole United States.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I love that. If we can get the Washington, just the state of Washington, to pass a motorcycle profiling is not allowed kind of a
right.
bill, everyone's going to jump on it. I'm going to make sure that everyone jumps on it, and it'll
be because some of the stuff that's happening right now is some of the stuff they're trying to do. They're doing in Australia.
Oh, I know. Well, Australia is miserable to all the motorcyclists. They really treat them bad.
And Canada.
Is it certain parts of Canada, or is it also in BC?
I
know Toronto is bad, and I know the reasons why is they say that it's got a lot to do with gang activities. Let's call it. That's what they say. Of course, you know, we know that it's motorcycle clubs, you know, but they call it gang activities, and there's, you know, different things that are happening between, like, Toronto and Montreal.
Yes.
I mean, Toronto I was Saturday, there was a presence.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about the Israel at a bike show.
There was a presence.
Not a presence.
There was a presence there also.
Oh, lordy, lordy. A one-sided presence. You know,
Dan,
I was just thinking that, you know, I talked about this before. What if the blog, talk, radio shows actually were worked together? What message could we send out to the MROs, all those rights organizations? If we could actually work together on our end here, maybe they could work together closer. Wouldn't that be something?
That would be something. And, you know, the thing also that we need to make sure of is that we distinguish between motorcycle rights organizations and motorcycle safety organizations, because a lot of those old motorcycle rights organizations have given up on rights because they said, we've been trying for 30 years, we haven't got our helmet repeal bills passed, so tell you what, we need a few wins in order to keep the membership alive, and so what we'll do is we'll go for motorcycle safety. But I'll tell you what, you start giving away my rights, I'm going to be down here at the road.
They're just trying to sustain their own organizations at times when I hear, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. Again, as you just said, so we can build up more membership, we can be more successful. No, I don't care about you building your organization. I don't care about you being more successful. I want to talk about my rights as an American. And they're settling, and everybody's settling, and I've never been happy with this.
No, I've never been happy with it either. And you know, when I have something that becomes a call to action, okay, we have calls to action. And when I have a call to action, I send it out to the independents. The independent bikers are out there, and they're going to get behind it. I send it to the U.S. Defenders. The U.S. Defenders is great because they are connected to every club.
Right.
So it's going to be good, and we're going to work on this, and you know, we've got a solid lineup. You know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then we all know that Friday, Saturday, and Sunday nobody wants to do anything except for get out there and ride. I notice.
We cannot stay in town. We got too much of the weekends, you know.
Yeah, you know, I've been working motorcycle rights for a long time now, and I notice the emails don't start flying back and forth until Monday. You might catch a few emails on a Friday, but Saturday and Sunday, nothing. Nothing. You know, I mean, Monday, it all starts up again. So I think just Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday is great. Now, you know, here's another thing I want to do. I want to talk to Biker Rogue, because Biker Rogue is the Reverend Hurley. I want to talk to him about doing a biker church kind of thing on a Sunday. Do you realize what Biker Church did for a lot of the clubhouses? It turned it into a religious sanctuary. And do you know what that meant to the cops? They can't go in.
That's why we do a lot of our parties on the Indian land, because it's sovereign land. Unless they're pursuing us onto the land, once we're on it, they cannot follow us at all. So that's kind of nice up there. It's our own little sanctuary.
Yeah. Yeah. The I just look at the Indian culture, the Native Americans, and I just my heart goes out to these people all the time. They have been so badly treated.
Yes, and I want to tell everybody that's sound of my voice, the impression is that the Indian tribes that have casinos on, they're making so much money. This mm-hmm. is an absolute fact. The economy is so bad that one of our main tribes up there, the Apala tribe, they're down to $1,000 a month in their checks. In the next couple of months, it's plausible, unless the casinos start bringing all kind of people in spending money, they may not be getting any money at all.
Right.
So every time you're hearing about, oh, they're making all this money, in 2005, if they had casinos, they were making it. Nobody is making the money now, and it's a hard life.
You know,
I can tell you, I was involved with the Indian casinos before I started getting the big money, and because I have some degree in counseling and all that crap stuff. We were instrumental in telling the Indian families that unless your child graduated from high school, he or she would never be entitled for a cent from the casinos. That's how strong they wanted them to get their education. Didn't make them go to college, but if you didn't graduate from high school, you would be entitled to get nothing from the casinos. I think it's a good idea.
Yep.
Wow. I don't know. I'd have to think about it. You know, because you're forcing public education.
Yes, Jim, but you have to understand that being in California 20 years ago, 30 years ago, Indians were living in it was sub-barrio, sub-ghetto. It was just poverty like you cannot imagine right here in California. And now they're getting these checks. Why would they get an education? Why would they go to school? Their monthly check coming in was so much money, there's not a McDonald's or a Jack in the Box out there that ever apply for a job. So by encouraging them, then if they do not get education, they'll never want to go further in life. If you know you've got a fat check coming in, more than you could make working, why continue school after you're 16, 17? Why not just go out and party? And we started seeing all these problems and all that. So I'm one of the ones that was strongly into education, or no checks. There is a pro and con to this, but this is how strong I feel about that, knowing the past conditions they were in.
Okay, yeah, it's something, you know, I haven't really put much thought into it, you know, but I look at the way that public education happens in America, and I hope that that is not what they're trying to force onto the Indians. You know, in terms of, there's too much propaganda.
Oh, it's a waste of time. I don't know, in a 4-year high school, if you get 2 years of, for example, for me, now I did go to college for counseling and all that. What the hell did I care about dissecting a frog? I'm going to tell you right now, there's never in my years of counseling or a motorcycle club interaction, I have never, ever said, hey, let's sit down and dissect a frog. Wasted my time. There's a lot of things. And plus, initially, I'm from Boston. Do you know what language I took in Boston? Latin.
Latin.
Oh, there was a. That's going to help me an awful lot. Latin.
Well, you know,
I didn't need all that education at all, because it's just something I'll never use. But I do believe that the better educated you are, the more self-confident you feel. And I believe that's the key. Fine Irish lad I am, second generation Irishman. I don't have a drop of Indian blood in me. They only brought me out there to say, Bill, what can we do to prepare for the future? And I said, the money is going to wipe you people out completely.
Right.
What's the incentive? And so these are issues we discussed, many in pros and cons.
Yeah.
I'm going to bring in another caller. Hello, caller. Are you there?
Hello.
I'm doubtful.
Oh, hello?
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, thank you.
So you were telling me about your opinion on the Native Americans and how they had to go through high school, et cetera, et cetera. You can call me Steven if you want, but I'm just curious as to how you can support something as racist, because this is something such as reparations to World War II during Germany, because we walked over to the country, said we were helping them, slaughtered them, took their land, gave them shitty land, and now you guys are being racist assholes. Thoughts?
Racist because we encourage education? I'm not holding, them down. Again, I'm a Irish Catholic lad, second generation. They brought me out there, discussed the fact that how can we prepare for our youth to advance? And I believe strongly education
is the
way to
go. But how can we withhold the land that we owe them after we slaughtered their ancestors?
Well, we slaughtered their ancestors because those Indians never got together. They had intertribal conflicts that never allowed them to be the superpower. In America, we have a different state.
Of course,
it's
the communist tribes. They didn't do anything. And then we came in, were racist and ignorant, and then we slaughtered all of them.
Yes.
I don't understand.
Well, before we did that,
Wait a minute. Can I ask why you're hiding your voice?
I'm not hiding my voice.
You're not... you sound like it's modified some way.
Is yours modified?
No.
No, I just don't sound like Woody Woodpecker.
Let me jump back a little
bit.
Before the Americans came in, blah, blah, the Indians would attack and slaughter each other and put each other slaves in captivity. I'm not judging their lifestyle. I'm not judging the past. I can't change any of the past. What I was saying is I was put in to discuss how can we...
Back and not hide behind your voice, we're glad to give you the mic because nobody here is being racist.
Yeah.
We're discussing facts.
Yeah.
And if our facts are wrong, then we apologize for that. But if you want to enlighten us with your correct voice and not hide behind a machine,
Darth Vader voice,
do that.
Not picking it up there.
Absolutely, do that.
And again, we're not. It was a decision that I made, and I was influential in convincing many of the tribes to protect their youth, to give the youth a chance to go out and get careers, get education. Ignorant people will always be subjugated by people with education. The more education you have, the less bullshit you got to put up with.
Right. Are you,
only my
are you there, Art?
I'm here.
What do you think about that?
Yes.
Education is power.
Don't disagree with me. It's okay, brother.
Education is power. That's the whole secret. Whether it's defending
your own
rights.
Oh, my God. I better quit early.
No, that's the basis of all of it. If you don't have the knowledge to protect yourself and advance yourself, then you're due to fall.
You do need that education. And the thing is that we are, the public schools are changing around the way that they look at education. In other words, American history now begins after 1865. You know,
right.
I mean, cut it out. Go back and tell us American history. Tell us about what was going on in America even before the revolution. I mean,
right. Let me bring in another caller. Hello, caller from 914. Are you there?
Yes. Hello. So I really I really wanted to join a biker gang, and I was wondering if you could tell me how I would go about doing that, because I have ridden a motorcycle before, and it feels really good on my vagina from the vibrations when I ride.
So every once in a while, we get one of those calls.
Which state are you calling from, please?
Yes.
It feels so good.
Magnets.
I'm sorry, what city are you calling me from?
No, hung up, Bill.
Hello?
No, they hung up.
Well, while it is true that those vibrations do feel really good, you know, I do recommend a Sportster over a touring model.
Well, I like the sound of a V-twin roaring beneath my testicles, too, but, you know, I don't brag about it.
Would you go outside and see if there's a full moon out there tonight? We're having some strange.
I'm going to see.
And I encourage people to call and disagree with me. You know,
exactly. We're not here to hide from anybody. If you got an opinion or if you want to express yourself, I'll give you the mic. It's no problem. It's like this right here. I'm going to go back to that caller. Caller, are you still there? Did you change your voice or are you just hanging out and listening right now?
Hello? Is that better for you?
That's a lot better.
That is fabulous. I have one very important question for you. You're Catholic and you're obviously anti-homosexual, but point being, most biker gangs,
I think you're talking about bike clubs.
Bike clubs, yeah. They do this very, very, very gay thing where they kiss each other on the mouth to show superiority. Is it the meth? Is it the cocaine? Is it the ugly sluts that come through? Why are they kissing each other?
Anybody kiss each other.
Yeah, I've never seen that. You must be watching something
some
we never seen.
Movies or something.
Hey,
okay. The past couple
I took
years?
The ass one time. That doesn't make me gay. Just clarify.
Have you seen somebody the past couple of years, bikers walking up kissing each other in the mouth?
Well, when they walk into the biker clubs, yes, they have done this on multiple times.
Where
are you
from,
a biker
the
then?
East Coast? Are you from the East Coast?
Yeah, which part of America are you calling me from, please?
Yeah, this was from the East Coast. I'm not going to reveal my identity.
No, it's okay.
You don't have to reveal your identity.
Geographical location.
Exactly.
Jane, do you want to jump in? You're an East Coaster?
Yeah, I do. Let me address that question, okay? In my family, okay, and I use that word family to talk about extended family. I love my family, and I will kiss them all. And sometimes it's going to be on the mouth, and it's just a show of affection. That's all there is to it. There's no hoochie-coochie sex happening afterwards. It's just I love these people. I will kiss them all on the mouth.
That's just, I'm just not fine with that. That's really,
why not?
Really.
Why not? What's your hang-up?
That's really gay. That's really gay. You're going to kiss their penis now, too? I'm not going to kiss anyone's fetus. Maybe I'm drunk, but, like, seriously.
Maybe you are.
Maybe you're drunk.
You know, there are geographical locations where something happens in one part of the country which is not common or it is not in the clique. And in our area out here, except for B-movies, I'm not familiar with that at all. But there are parts of the country where things are common, acceptable, and other parts where they think, oh, there's something wrong with that. So,
I don't even understand how, in the combined 70 years
that you and I have been around this life. Excuse me?
What?
Do you ride a bike? What kind of bike do you ride?
I ride the one with the handlebars and the two wheels. It goes vroom vroom.
Good, you know. Yeah, but this is quite common in your area, the East Coast. Again, we just unable to really discuss this because it's not common in the West Coast. So it's not a West Coast culture thing, but there are things in the Midwest that they do. Or like they say, soda pop or give me a Coke or give me a pop or give me... So there are different terminology, different semantics, and different lifestyles in one area which is not acceptable or very common in another area. In this example for us,
Can I ask you a question? What bike gang are you part of, bike club? Because there seems to be a big difference between an actual bike gang like the Hell's Angels, you know, where they stab and shoot people.
We'll address that.
We say this on the air almost every single night. Screwdrive and I are independent riders.
With a lot of friends.
This allows me to travel through parts of America and Europe and Mexico where I spend a lot of time with. If I were to join one organization, that would restrict my lifestyle and my movement. We've stated over and over that we have friends with 30, 40 years in specific bike clubs. We are complete independents, and we've always stressed that, sir.
Good job. Is there anything you guys would like to talk about? That sounds ironic since you're running the show. Politics, religion, I'm up for anything, really.
Go ahead.
Okay, you guys are religious, correct?
I am very Irish Catholic.
Okay, please explain
we're
to
both
me
Irish and both Catholic.
The praying complex here. Okay, so you believe that God has a plan, correct? He has a plan for everybody, back and forth.
I believe I met Jesus on Sunset Boulevard Sunday, or last Saturday night, but that's just my opinion.
Did not answer the question. Irrelevant.
Go ahead. Ask the question again. I'm sorry.
Okay, so God has a plan for everyone. There's a long timeline. He doesn't follow time. He knows everything. He's God, you know? You live, you die, eat, breathe, sleep, et cetera, et cetera. So explain to me, when someone dies, someone says, God's will, thy will be done. Then why would you – then they get angry about it, and then they say, oh, it's part of God's plan. That's supposed to happen. But then why would you bother praying? You're just kind of fucking with his plan. I don't understand.
Well, I've always understood that the prayer just gives you some peace of mind.
So actually, you're calling me from somewhere north towards Westchester County?
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
Yeah, no out
of New York?
Yes,
you know, let me tell you quickly about that. Is it...
asked the question.
Okay, good,
are you
sir?
Calling me somewhere out of Westchester County in New York?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Just to let you know, I have the technology.
Okay.
And that's all I'm going to say.
We don't care.
All right.
In my opinion, in the Bible, there's only one person in this whole world. There's only one person in the whole world should be mad at God. Okay? I want to repeat that again. Since the beginning of time, there's only one person who should be mad at God, and that's Lazarus.
Okay.
If you remember the story, Lazarus was dead. His sister sent a message to Jesus. Man, come back, and my brother's sick, come back. Jesus took 3 days to get there. Lazarus is dead. His bitchy sister says to Jesus, please save my brother. I don't want to do that. Yeah, I don't want to do it. To shut that broad up, he said, all right, Lazarus, come forth. This is the only man, in the Bible anyway, died, went to heaven, because he had a pain-in-the-ass sister, Jesus brought him back to the earth again. We had a problem with taxes and everything else and his bitchy sister. So in my mind, the rest of us should appreciate what we have. Only Lazarus has tried to complain to God. Only my opinion
about that. Well, I am going to leave now, but I thank you for actually
discussing
this with me.
Thank you for your questions. Feel free to come in.
I need
we don't agree always,
you.
But we want
to
hear what you have to say.
I need to warn you, there is a website right now called ebombsworld.com that is planning to disrupt your show, but thank you. Have a great day.
Hey, thanks much for calling. Thanks for the information. We appreciate that. And look at this here. We have a website that wants it. Jan, you hear that?
Yeah, I did. You know.
Okay, that's okay, Bill, because I know where he's at in Westchester County, out of New York.
So now, besides, we've got different talk shows telling us how they want to do it. Now we've got customers that don't like us because I'm not agreeing with his statements, but I allow that person to disagree with me. I think that's what dialogue's all about.
That's it. And if anybody else out here wants to call, the number's in it. I'm putting the number in the chat room right now.
And don't let Philip's adversarial tone get you upset. We will listen to what you say. We will not agree
with
you.
Absolutely.
But take that dialogue.
You know, everybody's entitled to their opinion, and everybody, and we'll give you the chance to do what you want to do. But when you try and call and at the end of that, try and threaten me with telling me that you're going to send a virus to my show, it's been tried by better people than you, and they all have government names behind them.
Bill,
well,
I told...
Jan, is it okay if you hang out with us or anything, or do you think you'll be safe?
I'm fine. Hey, do you know, what was it about 2 months ago I said something to you like, I love controversy.
Yes.
I think it makes for a much better radio show, to tell you the truth.
I don't think I was egging him on, but I wanted to hear what he had to say. Though we were polarized, I still want to give him, what he had to say.
Right.
Hey,
the service and the web server and the web service that I'm using to do this whatever you decide you want to try and do, okay, Zero Thoughts just got muted by admin. This is being watched, so anything you say or derogatory remarks, we answer the questions all the time. I get phone calls and people come to my house. So whatever you think you're going to do, that's 347 is out of New York City.
No, let me just go a little bit. We don't mind people calling in and disagreeing with us.
Right.
We want to turn you off, but for God's sakes, don't waste your time trying to threaten us.
Because basically you don't really know us, just like we don't know you.
Yeah.
But I can tell you where you're at within a few blocks, and I'll leave it at that.
So if somebody's knocking at your door, it's probably going to be screwdriver, not Bill. But that's a good point there.
Yeah, we have friends all over the country. As compared to a lot of these people, we do have friends all over the country.
Yes, we do. People that haven't listened to the show or just tuning in for the first time.
And I want people to disagree with me.
Exactly.
Because if you disagree with me, I'm going to see your side of the coin. Maybe there are issues I wasn't aware of, and I would not be against changing my mind or my opinion on if I get new information. But I have decisions to make in my life, and I have to make some judgments, and upon that I base the information I have. But anybody like to call me and say, Bill, do you thought about this or that? Share that with me. Disagree with me, but try not to get screwdriver riled.
Sniper on the roof.
Jan, could you feel him getting bigger and bigger and bigger on the radio?
that's just that Marine coming out in them.
Yeah, I know it.
You know, it's like right now, you know.
No.
So
you know,
far,
I mean,
so far,
hey, I've
Mr.
got
Zero Thoughts thinks he's a character.
I've
news
got
for him. All this stuff gets downloaded and archived in the chat room.
You know, we
as
were
well
talking,
as your IP address.
We were talking about, you know, education and all that. I don't see how we got off on we were anti-gay.
I know.
I don't think we talked about that at all.
No. Nobody said anything about that. Nobody
well,
said
didn't really bring
about
up religion.
No, I know. Nobody brought up religion. Nobody brought anything up. But, you know, all of a sudden, I see the chat room is flooded with people. You know, you've got this some amazing software that I don't know about that can show where everyone is, et cetera. But, you know, all of a sudden you did fill up the room. You know, there's a lot of people listening in right now. Hey, let's talk about religion. Let's talk about homosexuality.
Did you like my story about Lazarus?
Yeah. You know, I wouldn't have known that, how to answer it, to tell you the truth. You know, I mean, religion is good for, you know, people. And, you know, everyone has their own spirituality.
Exactly.
Yeah, you know,
and
I've got people in here going, God isn't real. I love God. Hey, whatever works, Charlie Sheen is my God. Whatever works for you, that's what works for you.
I tell everybody, in my mind, there are many roads that lead to heaven. If you think you're on the right one, you probably are. And I
hey, you know, last night, late at night, about 3 o'clock in the morning, I was up and I was watching public broadcast television or whatever. They had something about Shangri-La.
Oh, do you remember that? Was that Lost Horizon?
Yeah.
Was it the movie you're watching? That was called Lost Horizon.
Well, it was a documentary on Shangri-La. And, you know, here you have Buddhist followers. And, you know, hey, I love the fact that they're trying to revive their culture in Tibet. You know, I mean, that's a wonderful thing for those people. And it was
I think they're trying to revive their culture in India because those Chinese kicked them out of Tibet, of course. And they're only allowing limited show front for the tourists coming to Tibet. They have a few temples over and all that. But the bulk of the Tibetan culture, of course, is with the Dalai Lama, who is in exile in India, trying to keep his faith going while at the same time he's preaching total nonviolence to the Chinese terrorists that kicked him out of his own country. That I think is fantastic.
Yeah, the Dalai Lama was on and everything. You know, it was a great show. It was like a cook went. You know, one of the chefs that has a chef show. They were over in Tibet and they found Shangri-La. It seemed like a pretty cool place, and they compared that to another area of Tibet where let's see, what's it called? It's called Mustang in Tibet, which is an old city, but it's pretty much in ruins, and they're trying to rebuild it and reestablish it. And hey, I think all the more power to them. So,
Jan, there's a very, very old black and white movie called Lost Horizon.
Yeah.
If you get a chance to come across that,
here's another clown, Bill. I'm calling my friends in the Hells Angels to get a war started on independent bikers. Grow up, man.
Oh, cut it out. Hey, you know.
Grow up.
Independent bikers only means one thing. It just means that they're independent. They don't.
Absolutely.
They just love to get out there and ride their motorcycles, and it's a wonderful thing to try. And if you haven't tried riding a motorcycle, you know, go for
now,
it.
Now I got this means war. Bring it on, man. If you're into that so much, the number's 347-826-7753.
Well, he doesn't like Carly Davison's either.
That's his problem.
Well, my, how we have deteriorated
it's
with our
like
friends.
It's just like it says now, it means you have no friends and ride alone. Nah, not really.
Is there something wrong with being by yourself? Is something wrong with your own thoughts? Are you comfortable in your own skin?
You know, we're getting hits from all over here right now, Bill.
You know, I don't know. You know, the Harley Davidson that I have, I love my Harley Davidson. But, you know, I also loved my Vespa motor scooter when I was young, you know, and I loved my Lambretta and my Kawasaki and my Yamaha, but I always wanted a Harley Davidson. I finally got a Harley Davidson, and I love it, and I like all the motorcycles. So you know.
I just want to address this one question in the chat room. It says the Hells Angels has a new policy: pick a side or stay off the road. I think you're full of shit there, pal.
Well, I couldn't swear to that, but I always thought that being American citizens, being veterans, we have a right to make our own decisions. If you join a rival motorcycle club, I can see them saying, excuse me, we have a problem with you. But the motorcycle people I know on many, many different clubs, they say, you pick and choose what you want. Why should I be uncomfortable?
Yeah. You're talking to three veterans. Is Art still on the line?
Yeah, he's there.
I think Art's a veteran, too.
We're all veterans there.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm a veteran.
Yep. You're talking to four veterans. So, you know, I mean, yeah, we're bikers, but we're veterans, too. So, you know.
You're wrong on that, pal.
Listen, you know...
You're wrong on that one.
This is not an issue with... You're trying to associate us with a specific motorcycle organization. You keep throwing us up their names here. We're not connected with that organization. So it's kind of hard for us to answer your questions or your comments. I think only they should answer those questions. You want me to address an issue about this one club. I cannot address something I'm not a member of.
That's
therefore,
right.
It's kind of a one-sided comment. You're making these crazy statements up here. It's their business is not my business. So.
Yep.
I don't even say the names of clubs unless it's something that I absolutely have to do. Because it's none of my business. I do not want to get in their business. They don't want me to get in their business.
Exactly.
And, you know, my business is not their business. And, you know, so I just treat all motorcycle clubs, you know. Hey, I've got a topic of real conversation here. One percenters.
Well,
okay, now, my
hang on 1 second, Jen.
Yeah.
617, you're on the air.
Call or talk to us.
Yeah, what's going on, man? Can you hear me?
Yes, go for it.
Hey, what's going on? My name is Bill. I'm calling from the Las Vegas area of Nevada.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've been listening to the show. Today is my first time listening to it, and I'm very impressed. I wanted to ask you a personal question, sir. I mean, when you're riding down the highway on your Harley, and you hit a you're driving down the highway, and you hit a pothole. Does your boyfriend on the back ever complain about it hurting your nuts when you hit that pothole?
Tell me, motherfucker, that is nuts, you fucking faggot ass biker, motherfucker! You think this is a joke, you faggot? You're a gay ass biker. Riding a Harley is for faggots!
Nigger, nigger, nigger.
You know, you gotta wonder.
Hello, caller. That's how it's going to be. All you guys want to show how intelligent you are.
E-bomb.
We're not attacking anyone. We're not telling you the way we live our lifestyle. Why are you people so insecure with your lifestyle that you feel the need that by trying to demeanor us, which we really don't give a shit about, you think that makes you feel better? It really doesn't. What you need to do is the
and
five
right
things
now,
to do to make
and right
happen.
Now they're putting in your place of business, Bill.
Is that free advertising?
I think so. Yeah, I think so.
Wow. What to say by claiming independence? I'm attracting bike clubs. How can I say I'm independent yet I'm attracting bike clubs? No. We don't want to discuss motorcycle clubs. I think if we have a member of a motorcycle club and he or she wants to comment on something, fine. But again, Screwdriver and I are not a member of any motorcycle club. Therefore, it's kind of hard for us to have a conversation when this is not our field. It'd be like doctor answering about a dentist.
Right. And this
you
is...
know,
go ahead.
Just before all this started... We were talking about public education, and I guess that you made your point that public education is needed because there's a lot.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Oh, she's good, isn't she?
It's proven like that.
Segue that then to it, and then not when I interrupted you. I'm sorry. You were saying something about one percenters.
Oh yeah. I wanted to say, you know, I look at one percenters as okay, there's a lot of people in this world that ride motorcycles. A lot. Okay. Now, a long time ago, I don't know if it was the AMA or MRF or whomever, it doesn't even matter at this point, but
right.
They came across with this saying that only 1% are outlaws, criminal types. Okay,
yes.
So, and if you look at the rest of America, you'll see that the same is probably true for the rest of the population as well. It's probably 1% are criminal types. Now, the way I define 1%ers nowadays is if you get on your bike and ride a whole lot, I mean, like... you ride it every day. I think that puts you right up there at 10%, maybe 5%.
Average, on average, Bill, what, 25 a year, 25,000,
25,000.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't even call 1%ers criminals. I just call 1%ers is that's the amount of riding that they do. They do it. They do a whole lot of riding. And that's the way I look at it. Some of these people are really nice people.
Yeah. And you know what is so wonderful about this country and this blog talk radio is the fact that we allow people all across this country and across the world to contact us. If this was a communist nation and these people called in, the government would hunt them down or something, they don't want dialogue. I do not expect you to agree with me. I do not mind... you disagree with me, but this childishness about keep going back and back and back into this outlaw motorcycle clubs, and we're not members. How can we discuss something we're not members of? It's like a man and a woman discuss an abortion. I think two women should discuss that. A man cannot get her pregnant, so we should leave that to specialty people. If you want to talk to Screwdriver about anything, please do. We encourage you to disagree. I want to see your side of the story, but don't think you're going to rattle us.
No.
All you're going to do is
you might hear me get a little testy.
That's the Marine Corps.
It takes a lot more than that to rattle me. Because if you were a real man, you wouldn't be hide behind a keyboard. You get on the phone and talk. Now, just like some clown wrote in here, are we members of Al Qaeda?
Really? I missed that one. I'm probably glad I did.
Same clown says he's a member of NAMBLA. So his true colors are coming out. Which, by the way, I want you to know that anything you say like that gets monitored.
Yeah.
Not by us, but it gets monitored.
We don't care.
Yeah.
We want you people to feel, you know, that part of our conversation in here again. You're not going to rattle us at all, but I wish you would have intelligent things to say. You can disagree with us, but come on, guys.
And I picked
we need more intelligent, beautiful women like Jan calling us. There's too many guys calling in the show. That's what I think.
Right,
you know?
And I picked out the Jan.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You guys are gonna love this song I picked to close out with. I'm telling you right now. As soon as you hear you're gonna love it.
All right.
Jan, what do you think? Well, we need to have more women calling in and talk to us because obviously the men out there are not rapping. What do you think?
Yeah, you know, I don't know. I think we've got a homophobic nation or something. That's here I go with my controversial.
I would rather these people call us up and get it off the chest than go out and do stupid things like abusing children wherever they
possibly
could do. Instead of this, get it off your chest and get it out. We can deal with this.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah,
we've got a lot of intelligent
people
in there right
now. This is crazy stuff. I think the moon's out tonight, Jen.
Yeah, I think so.
That must be it. But it's not on the East Coast. I've got clouds overhead. I have no idea what the moon is doing.
No, they got 20 inches of snow on the East Coast, the upper East Coast. So maybe, they're locked inside because they're lost in their own confusion.
No, here was somebody saying that gay bikers have the same rights. Well, the reason we don't comment on that is because we're not gay. But if we had a gay person on our show and we had one of us that was gay, that would be good dialect. But again, because neither one of us are gay, I'm not really comfortable having long discussions with gay people about things I'm not familiar with. In my case, I'd take homophobic, in my case, meaning ignorance.
I think that we would treat them with respect.
Right.
I give to you,
you know, it's just
what
like,
you give to me.
Yeah, and it's just like some of these people, I guess they're not thinking of how they're typing and they can't even spell right.
You know, I treat everybody with respect. You know, I mean...
I give you a chance. I give you a chance to show me respect. I give everybody that one chance first.
Well, you know, here's the biker creed for all those people... that are listening in that don't know anything about motorcycling or bikers. Here's the biker's creed for you. Courtesy is owed. Respect is earned. Love is given. And it goes in that order.
Mm-hmm.
We owe courtesy to everybody. You owe courtesy to us. I owe courtesy to you. But now, if you are discourteous to me... all bets are off.
Yeah. We give you, in my opinion, one chance to prove to me you're a man. I'm talking about men only right now. Prove to me you're a man. If I respect you as a man, then you can come across and tell me you're a Chinese, you're a white guy, you're a black guy, whatever you want to be. You can tell whatever religion you want. But if we can't get over the first hurdle, if as a man I cannot respect you as another man, I don't have respect for you. Same thing for women. If I can respect you as a woman first, then I'm open the door now to learn more things about you. But if I cannot respect you from Jump Street, it's not going to happen.
Right. And on that note, Jan and Art, this is for all these clowns that decided they want to jump in here and play games tonight, and I'm gonna play this song right now for these guys.
This is a former United States Marine playing the song, ladies and gentlemen.
Ahoo. Y'all have a good night, by the
you
way.
Good night, dear.
Yeah. Turn the shopping cart around. Promise you'd be a dirty look. You think you're just a greedy rebel without a cause. But it's fear that mostly makes them people put us down. But I like to ride big motorcycles. And I like to eat potatoes. I like to pick the shit out of bunkers and faggots. And if you don't like it,
fuck you.
I ride big motorcycles, and I like to eat pussy too. And I like to kick the shit out of punkers and faggots, and if you don't like it, fuck you.
Fuck you.
In the restaurant, the maitre d' get nervous cause I ain't got on a tie. But who'd ever thought a hairy ass biker would drink French wine? I just finished off the steak and I have a glass of brandy and a slice of apple pie. Then I leave the biggest tip that the waiter's seen all night. Still I like to ride big motorcycles and I like to eat pussy too. And I like to kick the shit out of funkers and faggots. And if you don't like it, fuck you.
Time went by.